a difficult case to navigate because there's so many witnesses that have testified. It involves a police officer being killed, and I think people are very kind of skittish about, in some cases, kind of getting involved in this one. Let me try to contextualize sort of what happened kind of factually, what took place. So I'm going to talk about the primary prosecution witnesses. Police officer Daniel Faulkner was killed December 9th, 1981. The testimony at trial is that he had stopped a gentleman named William Cook, who was Mamiya's brother, and that he was, the police officer was beating Cook with a flashlight, a 17-inch flashlight. And there's different accounts of how serious the injury was. He was bleeding from the neck and face. Mamiya was shot in the chest. The police officer was shot twice, once in the face. And this all occurred at just before 4 o'clock, 3:51 or so. The bars in that area closed at 3. And everybody says this is a very seedy part of town, not unusual at that hour to have streetwalkers on the street, to have drugs, gambling, things like that happening. Just 3 years earlier, the Philadelphia police had been the subject of a Justice Department lawsuit alleging rampant police brutality, racism, and fabrication of police reports. It was a lawsuit that was dismissed on jurisdictional grounds. Now, police officer Faulkner, right before he gets out of his car to engage Mamiya's brother, who is the subject of his inquiry, radios in his location, but then says, on second thought, send a wagon. So in other words, before he's even out of the car, he's already decided he's going to need a wagon to put somebody in it. The evidence is that the police, other police, arrived at the scene within a minute of the shooting. Mamiya is found 4 feet away from Faulkner. They're both shot. Mamiya shot in the chest. Mamiya has a gun. It's a gun that he had registered, that he had as a result of being a cab driver who had experienced problems himself. The case is heard before a judge named Al Sabo in the Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas. The jury was 83% white, although the city was 40% black. And of the 13 potential black jurors, 11 of whom were challenged by the prosecution. Somewhere during the prosecution of this case, as it approached trial, it became apparent that the defense was saying that there was some other person involved in the shooting. So the police produced a confession by Mamiya, wherein he said something to the effect, I shot the motherfucker and I hope the motherfucker dies. And that this was said at the hospital emergency room. The problem with the confession is that the police officer who was with Mamiya, who wrote the report, did not remember this statement for 78 days after it was made. And in his police report, he wrote, quote, we stayed with the male at Jefferson until we were relieved. During this time, the Negro male made no comments. There are a number of reasons why that impeachment of this police officer's statement never was heard by the jury. Mamiya was represented by an appointed attorney named, Anthony Jackson. He was an experienced trial lawyer. However, he was given $150 to pay an investigator, and he was paid a total of $150 for experts. His investigator interviewed two witnesses before stopping work. There was no ballistics evidence done whatsoever. And at some point, Mamiya decided to represent himself, and Jackson was told that he would only be advisory counsel. So he stopped working on the case. During the trial, while Mamiya was questioning potential jurors, the judge got so frustrated with his questions, which were making the jurors uncomfortable, that he relieved him and reappointed Jackson to be his attorney. Jackson was behind work on the case. He was not familiar with all the statements. He wasn't prepared to cross-examine witnesses, and he has since signed a declaration saying that he was ineffective at trial. He did not, for instance, subpoena this police officer, Gary Wapshaw, to impeach him on the claim of this confession that was made. There were three primary prosecution witnesses, a cab driver, Roger Schobert, who was there. He said the shooter apparently ran away. The jury never heard this testimony. He gave two later statements that the shooter made it about 30 or 35 steps away, and then later that he made it about one car length away, 10 feet away or so. Clearly, all of these statements inconsistent with Mamiya being 4 feet away from Faulkner. He described the shooter as heavy set, but Mamiya has been described as thin and gaunt. He said the shooter had light tan shirt and jeans on. Mamiya was wearing dark clothing. This witness was on probation for arson for hire, but the jury was not told about this because it wasn't relevant to his ability to be truthful. The second prosecution witness is a prostitute named Cynthia White. She was 80 feet from what took place, a good 30 feet behind this cab driver. The problem with her testimony, a number of issues, but one is that another prostitute that was also out that evening testified that she was locked up for 5 hours and pressured by the police to say that Mamiya did the shooting. She refused to do so. The judge barred testimony by Veronica Jones that she was told that she would be allowed to work the streets just like Cynthia White if she cooperated with police. Cynthia White was interviewed 3 times in a month. She said the shooter was short, but he is over 6 feet. She said there was no struggle between the police officer and Mamiya's brother, William Cook. That part of the testimony strikes me as particularly troubling because it's sort of the kind of thing you would expect from a witness who was trying to be overly positive and helpful to the police, not wanting to even acknowledge that a police officer was striking somebody with a flashlight. The next witness is Michael Scanion. He was bar hopping. He ID'd Mamiya not as someone who approached the scene from another automobile, but as the driver of the car that his brother was in. Clearly wrong based on what other witnesses said. He said that the police officer Faulkner faced off with Mamiya, and he's not sure if the police officer fired back. Clearly, factually questionable, given the fact that Mamiya was shot in the chest and 4 feet away from the officer. He has admitted to not being sure about his testimony. 5 eyewitnesses at some point in their testimony have said that somebody ran away from the scene. One of these witnesses is a gentleman named Desi Hightower, part-time college student whose testimony has always stayed the same. The police gave him a polygraph, told him he passed, but decades later said he failed without providing the raw data for the test. I think that this is a case that fundamentally challenges people based on what kind of person they are. If you're the kind of person that doesn't believe circumstances can converge in one place with multiple actors sort of motivated by different things, if you don't believe in those kinds of possibilities, then Mamiya is guilty for you. But if you believe that in the hundreds of thousands of shootings that happen in the United States, in the hundreds of thousands of episodes, late night, different people carrying guns, seeing part of town, a black man being struck with what looks like a billy club. Any one of these blows could have killed him or caused serious injury. did cause serious injury, if you think that the African Americans in that neighborhood, some of whom may have been carrying guns, would not have gotten involved, would not have approached to say, don't do that, might not have opened fire, might not have gone the extra step, right? That's the reality of what took place anyway.